We've all heard the story. Two bicycle mechanics from Dayton, Ohio, changed history through sheer determination. But what if everything we thought we knew about the Wright brothers was wrong? The truth is far more complex and fascinating. Wilbur Wright was the true visionary behind human flight, while Orville, though talented, played a supporting role in his brother's quest. This isn't just about invention, but about how history is shaped by those who survive to tell it. In 1884, an 18-year-old Wilbur was struck in the face with a hockey stick during a game on a frozen pond. This seemingly minor incident altered the course of aviation history, knocking out several teeth and plunging him into a 3-year depression, forcing him to abandon his Yale plans and remain confined to his Dayton home. During this period of isolation, Wilbur underwent a profound intellectual transformation. He immersed himself in his father's extensive library, systematically educating himself across multiple disciplines while caring for his dying mother. Though officially a high school dropout, he developed an extraordinary analytical mind that would later tackle problems that had defeated the greatest engineers of his time. Imagine how different history might have been if that hockey stick had missed its mark. His years of solitary study created an autodidact whose approach to problems was unencumbered by conventional thinking, precisely what was needed to solve the seemingly impossible challenge of human flight. In August 1896, while nursing his brother through typhoid fever, Wilbur encountered news that would change his life. Otto Lilienthal, the famous flying man of Germany, had died in a crash. Lilienthal's final words, "Sacrifices must be made," captivated Wilbur's restless mind and sparked his obsession with flight. What distinguished Wilbur's approach from his contemporaries was his focus on control rather than power. While wealthy inventors like Hiram Maxim spent fortunes on elaborate machines that crashed spectacularly, Wilbur's financial limitations proved advantageous, forcing him to be methodical. He recognized that the fundamental problem wasn't generating enough power to lift an aircraft, but controlling it once airborne, like teaching a bicycle rider balance before adding a motor. In May 1899, he wrote to the Smithsonian requesting materials on aeronautics, describing himself as an enthusiast but not a crank. Significantly, in all his correspondence, Wilbur used I rather than we. There was no mention of Orville. The quest to fly was initially Wilbur's alone. Orville had no interest at first. Even in letters about going to Kitty Hawk, Wilbur never mentioned his brother. The bishop would later acknowledge that Wilbur had drawn Orville into the flying problem. While Admiral Melville declared flight impossible, the Wright brothers built a crude wind tunnel in their bicycle shop, a wooden box with a gasoline-powered fan that led to their crucial breakthrough. Using this simple device, Wilbur discovered that the Smeaton coefficient used in all existing lift calculations was wrong. They tested hundreds of wing shapes using hacksaw blades cut into various curves, developing the first accurate tables of lift and drag coefficients. Unlike their contemporaries who built full-scale machines that crashed, they systematically tested miniature components to understand underlying principles. Their experiments yielded two major innovations: accurate lift calculations, and the discovery that curved wing surfaces generated more lift than flat ones. This methodical approach exemplified Wilbur's scientific mind, gathering new data, testing hypotheses systematically, and developing principles based on empirical evidence rather than existing theories. The Wright brothers' most significant achievement was their three-axis control system, managing pitch, roll, and yaw simultaneously, rather than the flying machine itself. This breakthrough emerged from their 1902 Kitty Hawk experiments after discovering that wing warping alone could cause dangerous spins, as Orville learned in a 30-foot crash. Their solution was linking the rudder to the wing warping mechanism, creating a coordinated system that prevented adverse yaw. The three controls worked together: elevator for pitch, up-down, wing warping for roll, left-right tilt, and rudder for yaw, turning. This system, which they patented as a system of aerodynamic control rather than a specific flying machine, became the foundation for all future aircraft control. From World War I biplanes to modern jumbo jets, every airplane uses some version of this three-axis control system. On December 17, 1903, with 20-mile-per-hour winds, the Wright brothers attempted their historic powered flight. Wilbur positioned his camera 30 feet from the rail's end, instructing John Daniels from the life-saving station to capture what would become crucial photographic evidence. Orville's initial 12-second flight, while historic, lacked proper control and ended in a controlled crash shortly after the famous photograph was taken. It wasn't until Wilbur's final flight of 59 seconds that the first truly controlled powered flight was achieved, demonstrating sustained mastery of the air. Despite this remarkable accomplishment, the world remained largely indifferent. When news spread, only 5 of 21 newspapers published the story, with the Dayton Journal's editor dismissing their achievement as not newsworthy. The Wright brothers' later years were dominated by patent battles over their flying machine improvements. Their main rival, Glenn Curtiss, developed airplanes with ailerons, which many saw as derivatives of the Wrights' wing warping design. The fight consumed Wilbur, who had earlier enjoyed triumph in France, where 200,000 spectators witnessed his mastery of flight. Adding to his distress was his mentor Octave Chanute's accusation of greed. After Wilbur's death from typhoid in 1912, Orville continued the legal struggles. When courts granted the Wrights a pioneer patent, Curtiss attempted to invalidate it by proving prior invention of aircraft controls, sparking a decades-long conflict with the Smithsonian that outlasted Orville's lifetime. Fred Kelly's authorized biography portrayed two equally brilliant brothers working in perfect harmony, but reality differed significantly. The sanitized version omitted their struggles, Wilbur's depression following an attack, Orville's social challenges, and their unconventional domestic life. Wilbur emerged as the true visionary, corresponding with Octave Chanute, presenting to engineers, and pioneering the Kitty Hawk experiments alone. Orville, initially focused on their Basicle business, followed his brother's lead. Wilbur proved the superior pilot, while Orville suffered two major crashes, one fatal to his passenger. In visionary work, leadership cannot be shared equally. One leads, another follows. While Wilbur was irreplaceable, Orville could have been substituted. After Wilbur's death, Orville spent 36 years as the brothers' sole spokesperson. During his dispute with the Smithsonian, he collaborated with Kelly to craft a narrative of equal partnership, using the original flyer as leverage until the institution acknowledged their achievement. The Wright story demonstrates how history is shaped not only by its makers, but by its survivors, with Orville's longevity allowing him to secure his place alongside his brother in aviation history.